Hi, welcome to Robot Wonk. I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Eric Kurt.
This week we discuss Biden's cancer and cover-ups, the administration's charging Democrats with crimes and civil, and the Catalyst Report on the 2024 election. Good evening. You're either watching or listening to Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk.
And I'm Matthew Owen.
And we're discussing political news of the day, and we're going to start by talking about Biden's cancer and cover-ups. We talked a little bit about some of the cover-up stuff last week that's coming out in this book, and apparently it's a very interesting book written by a couple of CNN journalists, and you certainly would know about it, apparently, if you're watching CNN, because they are just promoting it in the broadcast, in advertisements. They want you to buy this book. It was released yesterday, apparently. The day after, Biden released his cancer diagnosis of prostate cancer. The president got it mixed up. It's not stage 9 cancer. There's no such thing as stage 9 cancer. It's what is the term, Matt?
Confused?
Yeah, well, I know, but what is it's something else 9. It's a different category of that. But anyway, it's just he got it wrong. You don't have stage 9 cancer. But anyway, they were talking about how the media covered. And, of course, CNN wanted to wrap it into coverage of its book, of the book that they're promoting. And so they're saying, oh, this is a rough news for them. And then in light of the book that's coming out on Tuesday, they're pushing it. Fox News, and this is where, you know, what the Daily Show News does, I mean, it, wonderfully, is that they said everything in it is, well, we hope for a speedy recovery, or we hope the best luck for Joe Biden, but, and he just went through a whole bunch of them saying, but, and it's like, there is no but. I mean, but. It's just like saying, you know, the but, what, that you're going to take the side of cancer? I mean, there is no but, you know, and so they're talking about, of course, and they've got some, they brought some doctors on to say, well, they should have known this last year. If it's at number 9, whatever the category is, there should have been test results then, and therefore they're covering it up. And then, of course, other doctors are coming on to say cancer is not predictable. It's different. It's not a computer, not run by a computer. It's different in every person. It speeds up, and sometimes you get negative tests. And so, you know, this is not evidence of a cover-up. But, you know, it's and if it was a cover-up, why are they telling us about it now? So it's just, at any rate, but there is all kinds of conspiracy theories now that they are covering up the cancer. As we know, they were covering up the dementia. I don't even know why they would cover up, you know, the cancer. Well, obviously, because, well, maybe he's not going to be alive, but who knows? Maybe we would have gotten sympathy votes. Right.
Would you vote for a president who's about to die?
I would if he was running against Trump. but yeah.
That was good. I mean, yeah. But I mean, yeah, but outside of that, I think they were looking at the independents going, I don't want to vote for a president who's senile, and I don't want to vote for a president who's dying of cancer. Those are two hard no's.
It is, but they don't, you know, there is no evidence that this was covered up or that they knew about it other than that is pretty well advanced.
Some cancer covered up was the dementia.
Yes, well, right. And that was absolutely covered up, because we've got the people admitting it now, and we've got the people in the cabinet, as we just discussed last week, who themselves were cut off so that they wouldn't know about the dementia.
Except he did. You know, who can forget the late June debate? When he came on stage, I watched 5 minutes of it before I had to turn the damn TV off, because I felt so bad for the man. He just couldn't complete a sentence, couldn't hold a thought. Right then we're going, oh, so all those things that we've kind of heard rumors of and Fox News has been promoting nonstop, they're true.
Yeah, Right. And yeah, and the wandering around the stage was probably dementia, maybe not, but you know, I mean, it just it is possible that people do things, but it definitely was covered up. And the only people with access to them were the inner circle, a couple of the military people, Austin and the rest, because that I think they that had to by rules, but everybody else was not allowed in, and yet he would not step down, and his people would not have him step down.
And the other problem he said is, I'm only going to run one term. My sole goal in 2020 was defeat Trump. I did that. I'm running one term, and I'm stepping aside. Yeah. And he wouldn't step aside.
But I did, I have a friend of mine did say something interesting today. He says, it's interesting how you have a report of Qatar offering a plane to one person for, you know, that's worth $400 million. And you have another person who's been diagnosed with cancer, and somehow the media managed to turn the latter into a scandal. I mean, you know, it's
by the way, the United States Department of Defense took possession of the Qatar 747 today.
Yeah. Right.
The estimate it's going to be at least $1 billion in renovations to make it Air Force One.
And it could take as long as 5 years. It's going to be interesting. So they should just probably just ship it straight to the Trump library. That's what's going to happen.
Say the Trump tarmac. If you think he's putting it at the library, I got a bridge to sell you.
Well, that's how you. I mean, I'm like you see how big a library is it? I mean, it's just it's going to be pretty
747, a double decker.
Yeah.
With four engines, which is gas guzzling. So you have to have someone dumb enough to pay for the gas. Oh, yeah, the taxpayer is going to pay for that. That's called what again, Eric? Fraud, waste, and abuse?
I mean, he met with the president of South Africa today after he's talked about this. And by the way, there are definitely white people who have been killed in South Africa. It is not a total fabrication. It is exaggerated, perhaps, but I have no problem with those people being given asylum. I just don't think they're the only people who should be given asylum.
White people have been killed in the streets of Oakland.
Yeah.
So it happens around the globe.
Right. I mean, it's an important thing, but apparently MAGA took a little bit of issue when this president of South Africa said, I'm afraid I don't have an airplane to offer you.
And Trump then replied, if he did, I would take it.
Yeah. Just
if there's anything he can grift, he will. Anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. And is that a emoluments clause? What's that? I mean, it doesn't even exist anymore. Now, will it become the permanent Air Force One? I don't know. Some Republicans are insisting that it will be.
As it should.
Unless it's not real practical for that purpose. I mean, isn't stealth kind of a point?
Well, it's not so much stealth because these things are huge. I think it's the fact they have to equip them with anti-missile defense on the plane.
Yeah.
I think they call it chaff that they shoot off to put the missiles off course.
Well, he won't need it. He's proposing the Golden Dome, which will cost $150 billion, he says. And we've seen this promise before.
I think Reagan started that.
Well, he was talking about Star Wars, right? I mean, I don't know. That's, you know, the
satellite zapping everything.
Right. That was going to happen. I don't know, but this is something. It is interesting because there are Democratic Party candidates who are running, including one of the governor's race, who I hear Villagrosa. Am I saying it right? Villagrosa. Yeah, he's slamming not just Biden but Harris, and our senator saying, you were complicit in this. Either you were completely blind as a bat, or you were complicit.
And the problem for Democrats is we didn't have a convention in 2024.
Right.
We anointed a candidate. And then two, when they found out they lied about his condition, all that crap on Fox News became the truth.
Yeah.
Democrats lied to us, and they did.
Yeah.
It's not a good look.
And still she was ahead in the polls. And we'll talk a little bit about this. She's with, even with all of that, she's still going to win this race. I mean, there's a lot of evidence. I mean, it was still really close in all of the battlegrounds. She lost all the battleground states, but it was close in all of them, like inches.
Right. And, but that's how Trump won the first one in 2016 against Hillary.
Yeah.
It was literally like 112,000 votes in four states separated the winner and loser.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that because there was actually there's some similar statistics as 2016 that weren't true of 2020. And we'll talk about that in the third segment. But I mean, it's just, you know, this is where the Democrats are at. Now, they, you know, had a big night in New York. They won in a state Senate district that that Trump took won very easily. A Democrat had been holding on to it. They were Republicans were hoping to pick up on it. And but because it was a new Democrat coming in, and Democrat won it, and that is a pretty good sign for Democrats. But they got to have it together.
You got to get. We'll see how the midterms go in 2026.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's, we're still a ways away from that, but things are starting to shape, and Republicans are starting to panic, which is one of the reasons why Trump is having a hard time getting his big, beautiful bill passed.
Well, also, his base is getting hurt by his policies. Yeah. I don't know if you saw the article in Washington Post today. Farmers in the Midwest who overwhelmingly voted for Trump, one of their big, what do you want to say, buyers of the product were local schools. And for whatever reason, outside of being cruel, they cut off food to schools.
Yeah.
I shake my head at this going, it's an 8-year-old kid coming from a poor family. He just wants a meal, but we cut it out. Why?
Yeah.
And when it starts affecting the Trump voters.
Yeah, and to, I guess to save money, but then if we're going to end up paying subsidies to the farmers for not growing, then what have we seen?
That now. The farmers are just getting poor.
Yeah, well, supposedly the last time around, because of the farmers got some type of subsidy because of the...
It ain't hit them yet, and they're kind of freaking out right now.
No, and it hasn't even been proposed. It certainly isn't in this big, beautiful bill.
And the second thing in the big, beautiful bill, if you dive down deep into it, they're going to pay for a lot of these tax cuts with cuts to Medicaid. They're already saying, you got to work. If you don't work, you're not getting any medical. Well, what if I'm disabled? How do I work?
I mean, you know, if they're saying they would at least put an exception for that. But what if you're in an area where there are more people needing work than there are jobs? I mean, you know, that's a very likely outcome, you know, and it could get rough. We one thing we haven't taken up as a topic is Trump's veiled threats against Walmart, you know,
eat the tariff.
Right. Eat the tariff, which is kind of weird because in the same paragraph, he says you're falsely blaming on the tariffs, but eat the tariff, you know, so
it's slowly slipping out. Subaru's increasing the price of their car by four digits. It's going to be thousands of dollars higher. And across the board, American businesses are saying we're not going to eat the tariffs. We're going to pass them on to the consumers. But they're getting smart enough not to call it a Trump tariff tax, which is what some Democrats have proposed. They're just going to call it market adjustments. Wink, wink. And everyone's going to know what it is.
Well, and some business will go ahead and call it, the small businesses will. There's already at least one local business that's doing it. They've got a sign on there.
I just read an article this week that UPS, Post Office, and FedEx, when doing deliveries, are calling people up saying, we need to get this extra charge for you. He goes, well, what are you talking about? Well, it turns out your product you ordered that came from China, there's like a $120 market adjustment to the cost of your product. Is, but I already paid for it. Well, this is the market. You mean tariff? Well, yeah, we're not supposed to call it that, but we can't deliver this until you pay this. And people are like, what the hell? So when consumers find out that Trump's policies are screwing them, they're not going to be happy.
No, they're not. And, you know, so anyway, I mean, just getting back to the Democrats, I mean, they've got to put up some type of opposition. that is coherent. They don't all have to agree on everything. That's not the Democratic Party. As far back as 1932, H.L. Mencken was writing about how the Democrats aren't a party. They're just a collection of different interests it's always been that way. But they need to come up with something about not be defensive about not doing anything.
Right.
You know, they need to do something. And we know that they can do something because Schumer is threatening to withhold, to stall up appointments over the airplane. So it's like, if you can do it over the airplane, then you can do it over some of these other issues, like maybe the tariffs, for crying out loud.
And Eric, I didn't follow up with the Eureka City Council yesterday. What happened with the homeless ordinance?
I don't know. I am not on it, but that's, yeah.
One area the Democrats are losing ground is they care more about the homeless rights than about the citizens' rights and business rights. And that's hurting their votes across the nation.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I don't even really know what was in the bill. So, I mean, not bill.
You can't camp
right
in the city.
Yeah. I mean, and will it even be constitutional? Because if you don't have a place for them to sleep, you can't stop them from sleeping. Well,
they do have a place for them to sleep. They just refuse to go there. Now, what do you do with them?
Which is where?
Eureka Mission, Betty Chen.
They're full every night.
Not always.
So, anyway, well, I think we're at the end of this topic. We're going to get into the next one shortly. But Democrats definitely have to take some stock in it. Now, Gavin Newsom is looking to redefine himself, and we'll see what some of the other people do. Although James Carville said an interesting thing over the weekend. He said, if AOC wins the nomination, I will support her. So,
wow. Yep. Don't think that's going to happen, but.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Okay, so we've been talking a lot about what the administration has been doing to immigrants, and we've talked about what they've done to foreign tourists and you know, what is happening, people being arrested on the streets. A lot of people are kind of feeling safe. It won't affect me. Well, they've threatened law firms and schools, and some of the schools have complied. Some of
universities.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Have complied. Harvard is not. We talked about that. But other schools have at least pretended to go along with them. And so we have these things happening, and threats to individual livelihoods and people being investigated. And now he wants to investigate Taylor Swift and the boss, Bruce Springsteen and all of that.
Springsteen did a concert and came out against him.
Yeah, exactly. And Bono, he wants to have more people be like Kid Rock, who, by the way, had his restaurant closed down because he had hired a bunch of undocumented immigrants to work in his restaurant. So Kid Rock is trying to say, well, I didn't make that decision. It wasn't me, Yep. So anyway, so he's not responsible for his own restaurant, apparently. But some new things are starting to happen here. Now, we have seen Bondi file civil claims against people in New York, against the some of the officials for their for maybe going beyond what sanctuary policies can be, if they could factually amount to direct interference rather than opting out. And most sanctuary ordinances simply opt out. They simply say, we are not lending our local resources to ICE. You're on your own. But apparently there was a policy in New York of giving some warning to the immigrants ahead of time that that ICE is after you. And so there's been civil charges, not criminal, for aiding and abetting against the administrators acting in their official position. That's as far as it's gone up until this this recent demonstration in New Jersey, and where the mayor was arrested and a congressman was arrested and because of some flare-ups that happened. And so charges were filed against Mayor Baraka is his name. And they were dismissed, and the judge today berated the prosecution. I mean, tore into him. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't read this yet.
Okay. So this is, I'm going to quote Mayor Baraka first. When he came out and was asked by reporters about what happened, he says, Jesus, he tore these people a new a-hole. Good grief. The judge was really angry that this had actually ever that he'd been arrested or even charged. And I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs of what the judge said. The judge the hasty arrest of Newark Mayor Ross Baraka followed swiftly by the dismissal of these trespassing charges a mere 13 days later suggests a worrying misstep by your office, Judge Espinosa said. An arrest, particularly of a public figure, is not a preliminary investigative tool. It's a severe action carrying significant reputational and personal consequences, and it should only be undertaken after a thorough, dispassionate evaluation of credible evidence. Federal prosecutors serve a single paramount client, justice itself. Your role is not to secure convictions at all costs, nor to satisfy public clamor, nor to advance political agendas. Your allegiance is to the impartial application of law, to the pursuit of truth, and to the upholding of due process for all. I mean, and that was only part of it.
Right. Eric, you're getting confused here again. Yes. Quoting Stephen Miller, his Trump's special envoy, whatever he is there, and Attorney General Pam Bondi, these federal judges are getting in the way of the will of the American people. And the law shouldn't get in the way of President Trump, nor constitutional amendments. He should be able to do whatever the hell he wants. That's what they're trying to state.
That is what they're implying, but they certainly didn't say that in that courtroom. At least whoever prosecuted,
I'm sorry,
did not say that to that judge. Probably because they didn't want to be locked up.
I'm sorry, Judge. You're saying that the president's supposed to abide by the laws of this land?
Yeah.
You don't understand who we elected, Your Honor.
So, however, there are pressing charges against somebody else who was at that. And this was congressional members and other public officials trying to conduct oversight over an ICE center that with arrestees inside they wanted to know what's going on inside. They weren't getting the information through the regular channels, so they showed up, and there were a couple of scuffles. And we're calling them that. They accused the mayor of trying to force his way in, but the cameras revealed there was nothing like that.
Well, there's that camera thing again. But I'm sorry, we can just tell Fox News what we saw, what we think we saw.
Right.
You're trying to come in with video evidence again. Oh, my God, Eric.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty wild what is happening. But this is the thing they're talking about now, arresting and charging individuals, members of Congress. And they've talked about it, possibly even arresting judges. These are test cases. Now, this judge tore into him on this. We'll see if it makes them back down at all. but I'm not hearing anything apologetic from Ali Haba, or certainly not Pam Bondi, definitely not President Trump.
And Ali Haba is a joke. During the actual Trump criminal trials, do you remember when the former president, before he became president again, was going through all his criminal trials? She'd get in front of the Fox News cameras and say one thing, and inside the courtroom, she'd be arguing something totally entirely different.
Different, yeah, just like Giuliani. I know.
It was like, what the hell?
Yeah, no, because they didn't want to. Because if you say something false in court, if you're an attorney, even if you're not under oath, you could be disciplined for that.
So you can't lie as an attorney, Eric?
No, you are not supposed to. It's definitely grounds for bar discipline and also contempt. And so judges were noting that. They're saying, wait a minute. You were in a press conference outside. Where's these arguments? These are the arguments we're making here, sir. You know, and it's just right. Like, you know.
Those are the arguments to the American people inside the courtroom. These are the separate arguments we're going to make.
Yeah. It does boggle the mind, but this is a potentially scary moment. Now everybody's, saying, well, it's not going to happen. It's not going to get very far, and it may not, it may not get very far, but I can't say that it won't.
Right. That's the issue.
I can't say, if you were to ask me, are we going to become, an authoritarian state? Is the elections going to be put off? Is habeas corpus going to be suspended? And are we going to become a police state, at least for a while? My answer would be very most likely not. And I could go through all the reasons why not. Because I do think that there are some very strong checks and balances that have survived for, we're an older democracy. It survived for a couple hundred years. But can I guarantee that? Right. No.
Keep
I
in
cannot.
Mind, the Supreme Court already said an acting president is immune from prosecution. He can break whatever laws, do whatever crimes he's want, and he's hands off. We're not going to touch him.
Except for impeachment, which we've learned is a completely useless process.
With the Republican Senate? Yeah.
Right. This is the thing. I go through all the reasons why I think it'll be okay. And then I encourage people to look it up. There's New York Times has three professors who are experts on fascism and the history of authoritarianism. And they are leaving their university and going to Yale and going to teach in Toronto until this blows over. They explain why. And one of the first things they say in the video is, if you have to count the reasons you're safe, you may not be safe. I realize that's what I've been doing. Because I have studied the transition to authoritarianism, and I go through, I've done it on this show. I've said, Hitler was more disciplined than Trump, represented a more sophisticated ideology. Germany was a much younger democracy, not as stable. The Constitution didn't have quite as much strength. The independence of the judiciary was a little bit weaker. But I'm going through the reasons, and it's like, but there's nothing that says it can't happen. There is nothing magical about this place that says that it's going to make it. There's no laws of physics in this country that can prevent it. It can happen.
I'm going to argue with you, Eric. It's already started. It used to be in the Constitution, Congress created laws.
Right.
Congress stopped doing that, and all we have is executive orders. They're not laws. I try to tell my friends this. You realize these are not laws. They should just this fantasy of this man he puts on paper and scribbles his name on it.
Trump has signed five laws still. It was as of 100 days, and still not one more law has going on. And they're fighting to pass this ridiculous one.
The big, beautiful bill.
Yeah. I mean, it's just we definitely are in the motion towards it. There's no doubt about it. We were in the first term, too. The first one, but we didn't. This is worse. This is worse than the first term
because Congress is not there.
Right.
And also, I don't know if you heard this week, Moody's downgraded the United States government debt rating. We went from AAA to AA.
That's not the first time that's happened, but
But it's not good.
No, it's not.
It's mainly because they're looking at this big, beautiful bill being a huge increase to our deficit, and the United States government's going to have to spend more and more of the people who do pay taxes, of our tax dollars, to pay for national debt interest service. That's not good.
No, I mean,
and all we have to do is increase taxes on corporations and the wealthy, and we can shrink our deficit overnight. That won't happen.
Yeah, it's certainly not going to happen in this bill. They're calculating that, it's going to be increased $225 million in taxes for some people who make a certain amount of money. I can't remember in tax reductions. I mean, I'm glad they're looking at the SALT deduction. That's good for us in California, but that's
still going
in the wrong direction. What?
SALT is a state and local tax to get the deduction from those.
Yeah, we're allowed to deduct ours. And the limit was up to $10,000. This looks like if this bill passes, it'll be increased to $40,000. I'm not sure what it was before or if it even had a limit before. What I do know is that as a result of the 2017 tax reform, my taxes actually went up.
Right, that was mine.
Yeah. So
while many corporations making billions a year in profits paid zero.
Yeah. They're not going to stop making these charges. They're going to try to intimidate their opposition. I don't know, Matthew. I mean, what are your thoughts on? I think one of the things that Trump does is he starts things slowly. He acclimates people to things, the whole idea of him having a third term. He's just kind of putting it out there as a joke, but it gets mainstream. I mean, what are your thoughts?
I think he's running for a third term. Worst case scenario, he'll be J.D. Vance's vice president, run the country from behind the scenes. I'm concerned about lawfare, what you're talking about right there. Right now, Trump complained when he was a citizen that Biden had made the Justice Department into lawfare, constantly going after him. But now Trump's going after his perceived enemies, real or otherwise. We talked earlier, they're going after universities. They're going after individuals. What was the other thing we put down? Law firms. Because they want to put the fear of God into anyone who might go after them. Plus, they got rid of the inspectors generals who oversaw all this stuff.
Yeah.
They got rid of the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, which was stupid. I shake my head at so many things they're doing. I just don't get it. What they want to do is they don't want any watchdogs looking over them. And they want to be able to do whatever they want to do, legal or otherwise.
They're charging the representative's name is New Jersey Representative LaMonica McIver, being charged with assaulting and impeding a law enforcement officer. And Pam Bondi is giving the usual, no one is above the law, which,
except Trump, he is above the law.
Yeah. And, I don't know what they have against her. I haven't seen the videos of it, but if they don't have a really good case, the judge, for all we know, it'll be the same judge. This supposedly Christy Noem said the charges were brought following a thorough review of the video footage. So we'll see. They're not sharing it with the public right now. What are they considered to be assault? Apparently, what some people did say is that somebody in ICE was reaching for her and she slapped the hand or something like that. I think if that's what they've got, it's going to be, it's going to be seen as political.
Right. Agreed.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Rub and Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
So this brings us to our third topic. The Catalyst report has come out. It is, of course, the gold standard of data from the election of November 2024. And they're not based just on exit polls. They do a lot of studies based on looking at the voter trends in individual precincts and districts. And they aggregate a whole bunch of data, and it's considered pretty accurate, although it's not all that different from what the exit polls show. The exit polls actually seem to be pretty good this year if we're going to base it on Catalyst. And there are other studies that will come out, but this is an important one. Matthew, you had a chance to review it. You want to make some comments?
Yeah, well, the first thing I can figure out is Hispanics went almost 10% flip from Biden in 2020 to Trump in 2024. I'm off the top of my head reading the report, Hispanic males flipped by 12% and Hispanic females by 9%.
Right.
Why would you vote for someone who wants to deport part of your family?
Yeah, I think what happened, and there are a lot of, you go onto YouTube and you'll find a lot of Latinos saying, I didn't know he was going to do that. I don't pay very much attention to politics. I had no idea he was going to do this.
At every damn rally he had, he's going to deport 11 million people.
That was
people.
The central plank of his platform. But they will tell you. A lot of analysis will tell you is one of the things that this study shows is that young men still voted for her, but it was much closer. Actually, I think only 45% of young white men voted for her. I'm not sure. I have to go look.
I saw a 10-point difference for young white men to Trump.
Yeah.
They flipped. Yeah,
but young African-American men, too, went from 85% for Biden to 75%. For Trump. Now, you know, that people are misinterpreting the report saying, oh, young black men voted for Trump. They didn't. I mean, 75% is still pretty, you know.
Right.
But
do
there
we
was
remember Obama out there black splaining to black men, do yep. not be afraid of a powerful black woman? I mean, Obama was out there. I went to an event in Clark County, Nevada, where Obama was the keynote speaker. When he gets on stage, oh, he is good. I mean, he's lean, looks like a Nordstrom's model, and speaks eloquently.
Yeah. Well, I forgot to mention that in the last segment that Trump also wants a military tribunal against Obama, but that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. But Trump does want a military parade at the cost of $50 million.
Yeah,
fraud, waste, and abuse, I point out to my Republican friends on
a
daily
basis. Talking about that parade in future shows, but getting back to this. A very similar thing. One of the things that was noted in Michigan in 2016 is that there were 80,000 ballots that were submitted that only had the down ticket, did not have a vote for president. That's at a record. It was usually like 15,000. That's a lot of people that did not vote for Trump but could not bring themselves to vote for her. I don't know if that was similar in this one, but what I do know is that what Trump has brought in is a lot of what we call, and maybe we should come up with a better term that's less condescending, but low information voters.
True.
People who haven't voted before who are impressed with the machismo, with the image that he presents, and don't know anything about the policies that he actually will do or aren't paying that much attention.
We call them the testosterone bros. Mm. There's a reason why Trump went to NASCAR races. He went to football games. He went to Ultimate Fighting Championship events. It's where all the bros hang out. And
he
they
went on to Joe Rogan.
You're right, exactly. Cool. And they see him there and they go, well, I like this guy. Why isn't Kamala Harris there?
Right. It's it is that way. And you have a lot of the Gen Z voters, it's the first time they voted. That's it. They haven't thought about politics. They don't know what these policies are. They haven't been taught it in high school. They passed the test. If they graduated a multiple choice test, they have not been taught history or civics in high school.
So I saw a thing on Jordan Klepper this week where he went to a college campus and Turning Points USA, Charlie Kirk's group, is aggressively recruiting on college campuses for the young Republicans. aggressively. Back in the day when I went to college, they handed out a deodorant or maybe a razor and, of course, a credit card because they want to get you hooked on debt as soon as you can. Right. Now they're going and trying to get you hooked on GOP.
And it's they do need to do that. I did check a stat this morning or after your question, though, and 60% of all college students are women.
And if I was a young man, I'm agreeing with you, Eric, I'd be going off to college because that's a pretty good ratio there.
Oh, I'd love it. I mean, geez. I mean, it just I'd look for the ones where it was more like, you know, 70%.
Right. I might actually get a date if I was 18 years old.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just anyway. It's insane that they don't want to go. But we've reached a point of anti-intellectualism and. Right. And the fact that it's so expensive now. When I was going to college, it was $400 a semester to go to UC, for tuition. There were other costs.
I was at CSU, and I want to say $325.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous now. And, a private school, forget about it. I mean,
$75,000 to $100,000 a year.
Yeah. I mean,
you want to go to Duke or USC.
Right. So unless you're a super genius that can get one of those, get paid for a free ride, that's it. You can't do it. Nobody wants to go into debt for, $300,000 for college.
Well, you need very wealthy parents.
Right. Exactly. Which is what it was before the 1960s. So there is, lower interest in general, but women go because they say, unless you want to be a secretary or administrative assistant or a stripper, there's no way you can make money without a college degree.
Right.
It's an exaggeration, but they aren't hired for a lot of the same jobs that men can. But, however, the problem is that the jobs that men used to go for when they got out of high school, if they weren't going for college, have disappeared in much of the country. That's the problem. And so if you have a candidate promising to bring that back, good union jobs that are that you can have, buy a house and have a good retirement, that's going to be enticing to a young person. It does,
The other thing I got from the Catalyst report is part of the reason the young people flipped is social media. And I got to tell you, the Republicans were all on board, just that 30-second little thing to get your attention. It's the Fox News talking point. It could be a complete lie, but when you hear it repeated over and over and over again, you say, hey, maybe this might be true.
Yeah, the Democrats did not have a social media plan, and they still don't understand it. I mean, this filibuster thing that they did the other time, it was good, but it's too much energy for thing, but he also wanted to make history. But I mean, there was to outdo the segregationists for the record for a filibuster. But it was, but still, it's not efficient. Democrats have to learn how to become. But part of the problem that the Democrats have with that is what they're up against is not just anti-intellectualism, but oversimplification. The Democrats' answers to things sometimes take five sentences where the Republicans only need one.
Right.
And it's really hard to fight that because you're trying to get voters to take interest in the nuances of issues. And that's really hard to do it, but not impossible because there are social media strategies for that. You can actually have discussions. And one of the things is to show up for podcasts and be ready to talk for hours on end and be ready to answer questions, even if you think they're going to hurt you.
And if you're answering a podcast during the election, you know who didn't do podcast?
Yeah. But Harris did a few, but not many. She should have gone on to Joe Rogan and not to do it for an hour. I mean, not only does that not work for Joe Rogan's format, but she needed to be on there longer.
Right.
I mean, it was just, and she could have made use of it. I mean, you know, even if, you know, what happens when Trump gets tripped up? Well, it doesn't matter. He looks like a moron all the time. It doesn't matter.
He just keeps going. He keeps going and he keeps going.
He keeps going. And so the fact of the matter is Harris actually did trip up a couple of times in the debate, but nobody noticed it because she, clobbered him and Trump uncharacteristically messed up with, they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs.
Right.
It was not that way. The way Joe Biden won the election, the debate and possibly the election in 2020 was letting Trump interrupt all the time and then finally saying, "Will you shut up, man?" That was like
his signature line.
That was it. And then a few minutes later, I can't get a word in with this clown. And it was, those were brilliant moments, right?
Right.
They need to be able to have that. And in order to do that, they've got to have candidates that they can trust to be themselves.
And I got to tell you, a lot of my even Democrat friends said, "We didn't have a convention. I didn't get a vote for Harris. She was anointed. She was put up on a pedestal and said, this is your new candidate." And we're all like, but that's not how democracy works. And a lot of my Democratic friends were just a little at unease where they maybe didn't vote.
Yeah.
I can't vote for Trump, but I'm not voting for her.
Well, and this is the other thing that the Catalyst pointed out that I didn't get from other reports is that the Democrats actually had a decent, not perfect, but a decent turnout in the battleground states. Those are all very close elections. Trump won them all, there are some accusations of possible cheating. But if you don't have a smoking gun, don't bother.
Right.
But they were really close. She actually had more Democrats, voting in those areas. But in the non-battleground states, the Republican turnout was higher than ever, and the Democrats didn't turn out, which probably hurt in some congressional elections.
Right, it did.
And also, it's because there was an enthusiasm. Yeah, that's what it shows, is that people were going to MAGA, wanted to vote for whatever it is they believe in. There was enthusiasm in the battleground states because the Democrats there, most of them were saying, "Yeah, here I am in a battleground state. I can't let this happen. I got to stop it." And that's why they turned out. But if you were in California or Nebraska, and not in that one district in Nebraska, you might have said, "Why bother?"
And also, what you said, Eric, the low information voter came out in 2016. And again in 2024. Yeah. You remember that one polling firm up in Iowa said Harris has got a lead there?
Yeah.
And everyone freaked. And she lost Iowa, 15, 20 points?
Yeah.
But they said she had a lead. And everyone's going, who are you polling?
It was frequent voters. That's part of the problem. Those models don't work anymore because we don't know who a frequent voter is anymore.
And what happens when a guy who votes once every 4 years suddenly shows up?
Yeah.
And he only shows up at the general election, not the primary. He doesn't vote the other 3 years at all.
I mean, there is some hope in all of that because, there are people he brings out each time. He brings out more people out of the ether that hadn't voted before. In 2020, he did too. He actually increased his support in 2020 from 2016 in every demographic group. He increased his support in Black. He declined in the American working class vote because the union vote supported Biden.
Right.
She didn't do enough to get that vote.
And 2020 was an all-time election numbers. Yeah. Right. Just because people sat at home and said, "I'm sick of this COVID thing." We got the clown out there every day who thinks he's a doctor who's not, got to get him out.
Yeah, well, and plus Biden had long cultivated relationships with the unions. And that's why he took the Midwest, down the all of those states, Michigan, Pennsylvania. And, so that's what they have to learn. Now, it'll be interesting to see if Trump can get those low information voters out in 2026. He wasn't able to do it in 2018, and he wasn't able to do it in 2022. Right. We'll see if it happens this time around, but if he's causing prices to go up in Walmart and, you know, doing a lot of these other things, he's going to have a hard time even getting the regular base out,
right?
Let alone the hardly ever vote base.
Agreed. Which leads me to my predictions.
Well, we'll get there in a minute. I do want to point out one thing, too, is that the one group that Harris improved on Biden in was the Jewish vote. And I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Which is only 2% of the country?
Yeah, it was only 2% of the country, but it was an increase of from like 65 to 75% or from 75 to 85. I don't remember which, but it was an increase of 10%. And I'm trying to figure out why. You know, and it's there's a lot of different reasons, but one of the theories, because it's really probably wasn't about Israel. Jewish support for Israel is a mixed bag,
right?
One theory is that it was that Jews have a historical understanding of fascism,
right? And the fact the United States was supporting Israel in Gaza.
Possibly, but they knew Trump would too, so I don't know why that would be a factor.
Well, no, he ended. You're confused again, Eric. He ended the war in Gaza the first day in office.
Yes. All right. This brings us to our predictions. Matt, what do you have for us?
I read an interesting article today. American corporations across the board are coming out with price increases. They're now calling them market adjustments because they don't want to use the word Trump tariff tax because he will go crazy on them. So everyone's coming out with market adjustments. Subaru announced they're going to increase the price of their cars by thousands of dollars. Walmart's already said we got to bump our prices by at least 10%. But I started looking down the list, major corporations across the board are saying, we're not going to eat the tariff. It's going to get passed on to the consumers. There's going to be a backlash.
Okay. Well, I'm going to predict that the charges against New Jersey Representative LaMonica McIver are going to be dropped. I think that this judge today may have made an impression and they're going to back off for a little while. I don't know if it'll be for the long run, but we will start to get into an area where the 2026 elections start to become a factor. And I think he is going to back off of some of the crazy as it applies to people other than immigrants. I think he's going to continue to ignore court orders with regard to the immigrants. And because Congress isn't going to do anything, I just don't, until the judges start actually arresting or holding people in contempt, those orders are going to continue to be ignored. We'll find out if any of this comes true, and we'll be back next time. Until then, stay informed and stay engaged.